It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, alongside former Packer Brian Belaga. Here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The best 60 minutes of your day. By the way, all those because McIntosh last who say Wisconsin is going to be horrible. I will bet any amount of money. The over-under will be 6.5. They're going to be significantly better. Now everybody knows that who follows the players because they got money. Significantly more money. He probably did bail because the job isn't what he thought he is. But before he bailed, they got a group that raised $30 million, and he got, what, $17 million from the state. So anybody who's convinced it's going to be disastrous, because they were disastrous last year, the schedule's a little lazier, whatever you want, bring the money to Ted's in Tulsa. The maximum amount, I will bet, total is $5,000. This is not for charity. This is money that I want. So, or can I do that on the radio?
Well, you're not doing it on the radio per se. You're just saying bring it to Ted's and Tulsa, yes. And you can handle the business there.
And I believe the over-under on Wisconsin will be 6.5.
6.5, yeah.
Yeah. So it's understandable to be upset with McIntosh, as I stated long ago. It was horrible. But the best things he's done are the things he did before he left. And my assumption is that he's known for some time he's going to leave, because I would assume all these positions with your Big Ten, you got to talk to various schools. So they got money. But yeah, what he took was a better job, and probably doesn't want to do what he has to do, though. He's got money coming in. They went from bottom third to top third. This will be a much better season. The question will it be good enough? But anyway, you think they're going to not win 7 games? Bring all your money to Ted's in Tulsa. The maximum amount is $5,000 total when all the people combine.
Can we read off the Badger schedule?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Just so I can see if that's 6.5, because I may just take you up on that bet myself.
Yeah. Hold on. I got it here somewhere.
Yeah, I got it here, Brian.
No, but so, I know you got it. Hold on, I got it right here.
All right.
All right, now, the thing that changed, they were supposed to play Pittsburgh, but that's changed to, like, what, Eastern Michigan, I think, after Western Illinois?
Correct, yes.
Yeah, okay. All right, here we go. They open 0-1 against Notre Dame at Lambeau. Aren't they playing at Lambeau?
At Lambeau, yep.
All right, then it's Western Illinois.
I hope they win that.
Yeah, well, okay, that's 1-1. Then Eastern Michigan, so you're now 2-1. And you can disagree, because
I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying.
I know. You're thinking about it. All right.
Yeah.
At Iowa.
Loss.
All right. At Maryland. Now, that is important because Maryland's a mess.
Yes.
So that'll be 2-2. At worst, 2-3. At Penn State.
Loss.
Loss, 2-4. At Purdue. Win.
Win.
At UCLA.
Should be a win. Should
so
be
now
aware.
We're at 4. Michigan State at home. See, there are these iffy ones. Minnesota at home.
Should win.
Rutgers should at home. That. That's a win. Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. And then USC.
Loss.
Okay. So I have.
So 6.5 is a great line, by the way.
Yes, it is. That's right. Yep.
Oh. It's that Rutgers game. Rutgers and Michigan State.
Right. I mean, there are these games. Maryland, at Purdue, at UCLA, Michigan State, Minnesota, Rutgers. And you have to win like 4 of those.
Yes.
You get the 4 of those, then you're at 7. And I think they'll be good enough to do that. So, you sure they can't steal your AD from Iowa?
I think she's pretty locked in.
Maybe. How long has she been there?
I think this is her 3rd year now.
Yeah. I would be very comfortable if I was an Iowa fan at her ability to hire a football coach when she needs to. I don't know how much longer he's going to stay. He's like 100 now, isn't he? Ferentz is older than I am.
I don't know how old he is, but he just...
He's 70.
70.
He just keeps clicking along, man. And
you don't you have a rule in Iowa where even tractors have to retire at 70 or something? Not so?
I don't know.
I haven't heard anything about him retiring, right?
No. Absolutely. He'll step away when he's ready. I mean, that's essentially, I think, the way – I bet that's what the contract says. When you're ready, you'll be done.
Yeah, his current contract runs through 2029, so.
Yeah.
Till he's 75, that close to 75, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you talked to him recently? Does he know his name? Still know what team he's coaching?
He's well aware of everything that's going on. I can assure you that he's well aware. Very sharp.
I know. Well, I wonder how he feels and how he has addressed NIL.
Well, when I was up there, what was that, a few years back, and we talked about it. It said he told me it took him a little bit to adjust to it, just based on recruiting alone, because recruiting is not the same anymore, right? And that was still somewhat early days of NIL. It wasn't the Wild West like it is 2 years later. I think for old school coaches like himself, I think probably it was difficult to start, and now how you kind of have to navigate catering to these kids and not just wooing them with tradition or history of producing NFL talents or facilities. Now you have to woo them with money along with those other things and guarantee kids things that you never had to do when, say, I was being recruited. There was no guarantee of playing time or no guarantee of $100,000 your freshman year, or anything. You didn't have to do that. There's no such thing. So I think for more old school coaches, I think that was probably the harder thing. But what Kirk has done, and at least what I've noticed, especially when I was there, a lot of new faces in the recruiting department and in that kind of handling those things that are that is NIL, right? It's not like I'm obviously Kirk has a monster say in those types of decisions, but there's other people that handle those types of things. I think he worries about how the football team is performing, obviously the training regimen, all what he's done his entire career. And I think he's hired good people to handle the NIL aspect of it, because like, I don't think where he's at in his career right now, he wants to be engulfed in the NIL world. I don't think that's his cup of tea. Now he's embraced it and he's done the best he can with it, and he's tapped into the transfer portal and he's signed quarterback and he's done that. But Iowa is still under his leadership is going to be Iowa. They are going to recruit and develop guys through the weight room and practicing and things like that, and they're still going to go about things their way. And that is one thing that is for sure. Like, he won't deviate from that. I truly believe he solely believes in finding kids that probably are overlooked a little bit.
Yeah.
Bringing them in and developing them, and they turn into something special. And that's what he's always been really good at. You can't ignore the NIL and the transfer portal, and he hasn't. He's tapped into that, but I don't nowhere near what some of these other programs have done.
Well, and this is what is so sad to me, because I'd love to talk to him, because it's a, you know, philosophy. I don't care what, I'm not paying more than this amount for anybody, or I'm looking for offensive linemen at $500,000 or whatever, or that you have to take a philosophy, unless mm-hmm. you just have endless amount of money. The great line was from the Ohio State coach: we don't want any players unless they're a first or second round pick in the draft.
I saw that.
Yeah, because that means that's we're paying the top rate, and we're only going to pay it for good players. Now, how you would know by then that they're going to be a first or second round pick? I don't see how anybody would.
Yeah, that's a funny statement, because not every guy on that roster is a first or second round pick. So that's a funny statement by him. And honestly, it's a little bit of a slap in the face of some of the kids he has on the roster that probably are going to start this year, because they're not going to be first or second round picks.
Yeah.
So you're telling them right now they're not good enough.
Or you're telling a lot of these kids that are asking for what now appear to be huge amounts, we ain't giving it to you. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Or you're giving those kids that ammo. If you're recruiting them, you think I'm a first or second round pick, so pay up.
Yes.
You're essentially putting yourself in a corner with that statement.
Well, and I would say this, that, and you would attest, I hope, that I don't care if you say that. There's no way you can be that good a recruiter to know for sure who's going to end up being that good.
No.
I mean, the biggest problem now are these money that's gone to kids, and it turns out they weren't that good.
Yeah. Well, a perfect example is look how good the Indiana guy did, and half those kids aren't going to be more than half aren't going to be first or second round picks. They're good for the system. They're good players. Don't get me wrong. But are they all first and second round picks? Hell no. No, that's not the way it works. Like, now, does Ohio State have a ridiculously talented roster where there will be first and second round picks? Yes, for sure. But like to say we only want first and second round picks, good luck, bud.
Well, and the coach in Indiana has made it clear, we do things a certain way. Whatever we're paying them, and it would appear that certain way has created a, I don't know if you'd say discipline, but an ability to not make mistakes.
Yeah, exactly.
At whatever, like, they're getting.
Like that, and that's the thing. Like, to say we're only looking for this type of kid, you hit the nail on the head. You don't know what they're going to be. You have no idea if they're going to be a first or second round pick when they walk in the door. That's crazy talk. Like,
that's why I'd love to hear and see, not really hear, but see what Ferentz is doing. Because I don't think he's going to change, as you said, his approach. It creates more difficulty in that. I like this kid, but he thinks he's too good, or he's asking for too much money. You know, we're looking for... I mean, this is what I do. We got a amount of money that we figure we want. We're looking for linemen at $1 million. If they want more than $1 million, forget them. Now, who's out there at $1 million from various schools, various ages, or whatever that number is?
Yep.
You know, and I'm only going to pay this amount for a quarterback. If they think they want, forget it. We got to find that $2 million, the best $2 million quarterback. And I'm more fascinated by that.
I'll say this with Kirk, and I don't know who they brought in the portal or what they did this year. I don't keep up that much with it because there's too much going on. But I just know Kirk Ferentz and offensive line development and building. Most likely, he's bringing in majority of those kids as freshmen, and he's developing them from ground up. Because sometimes you go into a portal and you grab a kid, say he's rated very high, right? Maybe he is, whatever, and he demands X amount of money, and he doesn't fit that mold of what Kirk's looking for, and he's not bought in from the start like these freshmen are. They're recruited, right? Like, they're bought in. They everything that he told them during the recruiting process, and they're bought in, they're sold in, how this is going to go, how do I become an NFL offensive lineman? Those kids are bought in. That's not the way it always goes with the portal. And I just don't see Kirk going into a portal and buying offensive linemen when he's so good at developing them.
Right.
Like, it's just now, if the kid ends up being a stud and he's really good, is he going to have to end up paying them more? He sure will. And he'll probably gladly do it. Probably gladly do it if the kid, he brings them in, develops them, and the kid ends up being great. Yeah. You've earned that. Like, that's good. That's fantastic. You've earned that money. And you know what? It's not like he's going to pat himself on the back and say, I knew you'd be like this, but it's his process of developing guys. And you look at a lot of these Iowa guys, they're all the same way, right? I mean, the quarterback, obviously, this last year they brought in from the portal, but they didn't have a quarterback. So they had to go into that realm and pay a quarterback, and obviously that is what it is, right? Like, what are you going to do about that? But from certain positions, I think he's very solid on
right
his development plan, and
I'll take my chances. I'm only going to pay this much. Yeah, and that's the hard part. I mean, I'm sure privately he talks about it. He doesn't want to talk about it in public, but that's Indiana the same way. And he has a certain approach, and
yep.
I don't. It just saddens me because I'd love to hear. You'll always hear about coaches, and then they're talking about it privately because they don't want to talk about it publicly because they don't want everybody else to know. Or all that does is, I guess, make it even more expensive. All right, we will get.
Yeah. What? That's exactly what it does. It makes it more expensive. It's what the Ohio State coach just did. He made it more expensive. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just convinced they're going to fight hard to change the transfer thing so that kids have to make a decision. And that decision means where you're going to go, where you're going to have to stay. Because after that first transfer, you're done or you'd have to sit out a year. I can't believe they can't get that done, but we'll see. Second quarter with Brian Bulaga next. The Brian Bulaga Homer Hour. Whenever or wherever you're listening, you know we're live on YouTube as well. You can watch the show, see what's happening in the studio, and comment along with us. Just search ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube and subscribe today. And you need to today because, yes, the hairpiece is back. First seen on WISN TV in 1992 and continuing up until 2002. So about 10 years. All right. What do you think?
I think it looks good.
Yeah.
I think it looks good.
Not bad, huh?
No, not at all. I think it looks good.
Does it make me look any younger or not?
I mean, I don't know how old you are, but it makes you look
71.
Really good. Yeah, I think you look
it
fantastic.
It fits better than I thought with the gray hair that I have now because, again, it has not been worn on TV since 2002. Now, I am wondering, as far as using this, that initially I wanted to be the official spokesman for the Brewers so you could find out if the dome is going to be open or closed. Maybe I should bring that back.
Yeah.
Like come at 5 o'clock and call the Brewers and say, is the dome open or closed? And then my hairpiece will be according. And all anybody needs to do is to go to YouTube and watch the show and find out if the dome's going to be open or closed. Don't have to call anybody.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
It's a good idea, but it looks natural.
Yeah.
It's absolutely natural. I like it.
We have Frank in Port Washington, the judge. He oversees most everything that goes on the show, especially if I mess up. Judge, what do you got?
No judging, just a couple questions for Blue as he was talking. What do you think you would have done? Would you have come out early? How much would it cost Iowa to pay you to stay and play another year? I know that's an impossible question to really answer, but have you thought about that?
Yeah, you know, I have thought about it before, obviously, and different times back in the day. I probably... You know, you look at how today's going and where I was as a junior and kind of the projection, it would probably have to be in the couple million based on the draft projection and things like that and the season I had and all those things because I don't know. Listen, and this is me having no idea what the going rate would be for those type of linemen today. I have no idea because, like Homer and I always say, we have no clue if these guys get paid. We no idea. But to have a guy come back that's probably going to be a first-round pick to stay another year, it's going to cost you more than, like, a couple hundred grand because that means that guy's forfeiting that and the opportunity and another year in the NFL where coming back to college he could – get injured or something could happen and things like that.
And if he thinks he's going to be good, you want to start your NFL career as soon as you can because that means you'll get quicker to even more money, right?
Yeah, faster to free agency and younger when you hit free agency and things like that. So there's those factors that go into it as well, for sure. I wish I got to make that decision.
That's kind of my follow-up. My related follow-up, do you think this is going to impact – the pay structure in the NFL. In other words, guys less likely to go earlier, and now the NFL is going to have to pay more money because they'd rather, you know, Goody doesn't want old guys. I don't want you to burn a 22-year-old year at Iowa. I want your 22-year-old to be on the Packers.
Yeah. Well, I'll put it this way. It is going to, in my opinion, and we're going to see how this draft goes, because it's from everything that I've read and I've heard, that the back end of the draft is going to be very watered down because so many good players are staying and returning back to college because they're getting paid good money. And if they get paid good money and then say they weren't projected as a first or second round pick and they're getting paid good money, return to college a year older, play really well, and boost your draft status. So, like, that's what's going to be happening to the NFL, right? And the rookie wage scale is a thing that will impact the NFL eventually, because these guys are going to go, I'll just go back to college and prove my draft
stock. We don't know when that is, but it'll get out. Like, if you're going to be a fifth, you know, they're going to say, if you're going to be a fifth-round pick, forget it based on whatever you can get, or maybe it's fourth or something. But, yeah, there's going to be a group that are going back to college.
Yes, and it's going to water down the draft.
So conversely, there'll be some street free agent type guys that are going to get drafted.
Yes, 100%. 100%. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. That's the system that's in place right now, right? I mean, that back when I got, when I came out in 2010, that wasn't even an option. If guys were going to be in rounds 1 to probably 3 as juniors, a lot of them came out because they start their NFL career, they get going, start making money right away, because there was no benefit of college, you know, besides, oh, can I improve my draft stock by a round? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. What if I get hurt? And then I got to go back to college for another year. And then I'm a sixth-year senior or whatever it may be, and then I'm another year older in the NFL terms, as we see the way Green Bay operates now. Once you hit 30, it's over. It's done. Like, you're out the door. So guys wanted to get in early. Now it's going to be flip-flop. Guys are going to take that extra money in college, and the NFL, towards the fifth round and back, is going to be watered down because guys are coming back to college to make money and improve their stock.
I wonder if they'll think about shortening the draft by a couple rounds.
That's a great that's a great question, and it's a great point, because it's going to have to be how this impacts the NFL. It's going to have to be a little bit of a case study, in my opinion. They're going to have to look over it for at least 5 years to see the quality of player that's coming in the fifth, sixth, seventh round, and they're going to have to evaluate that, because believe me, these owners, they don't want to pay guys that end up being, like, bad. They don't want to do it. They won't do it. And you'll see picks just getting traded back and traded back and traded back, and guys getting out of rounds because it's just not there. I wouldn't be shocked to see so much movement on the third day of the draft. I would not be shocked to see tons of trades, guys getting out of rounds, moving back, collecting picks for next year and things like that, because – you see the guys coming back to college, it's a huge list that are returning that would rather go back, get a fifth year, and do it again and make more money and try to see if they can improve by a round or two.
Yeah, and some of it, the goodies of the world might say, well, we don't know what's going to happen, so I want picks next year, and we'll figure it out then, and if stuff changes, we'll push it out another year.
Well, they'll adjust, Brian, as you said. When they start seeing more people drafted that have no business, don't really have much of a chance to make a team.
Yes. And Goody, and obviously I can only speak on Green Bay really, because I was there for so long and I understand how their draft process works, or I got a good idea. They're very good at evaluating, like, if they're in the fifth round and there's guys without fifth round grades, they're going to try to get out of that pick. They just won't do it. They just won't do it. And if that continues to happen for a lot of teams over this draft, next draft, the following year's draft, I mean, there's going to be complaints from owners like, hey, like, there's four rounds worth of talent and we're being forced to burn picks and money on three more rounds. And we're getting these compensatory picks in the fifth round and sixth round and the players aren't there. So, like, believe me, they will complain about it. It's just a matter of time.
We haven't heard it yet, though, or I haven't. Have you heard any of that, Brian? I don't think so.
No, I haven't heard any of it yet, because I still think the NIL thing is still so fresh. And I think the impact, and now that I feel like the money is getting crazy in NIL, the impact is going to be start being felt a little bit more these next 3 years, and these guys staying in and collecting another $1.5 million and things like that, and doing things like that. I think it's still a little too early for them in their case studies, but I would be interested to see over the last 3 years, the guys picked in rounds, we'll just say five and on, how many ended up being like what we used to see Green Bay get? How many Bakhtiaris, how many Lindsleys, how many Sittons, how many Langs are you finding nowadays in those rounds? Or Antonio Browns and guys like that, like how many are you finding? That's the interesting case study that I would like to see.
Now, Brian, I have one for you from Frank, because Frank knows Purdue basketball pretty well.
Okay.
So Purdue had some veteran guards, and they had a hotshot freshman who agreed to redshirt. Why would you? Can you imagine?
No.
Schools are now, have to be, I know this is the case, so I don't, paying kids not to play.
That's wild.
Right? There's no way you're going to convince that top kid to not play unless you're paying him close to what he would get to play.
Yeah.
I can't get that confirmed at Purdue. Frank, I don't even know the kid's name, but he's a point guard. Is it fair to assume that...
I'm sure...
Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't have any personal knowledge, but you've got to be right. I mean, it would make no sense. I mean, everybody's getting paid to play. The question is how much.
Right. And generally, you'd think it was somebody redshirting would be someone who's not very good yet. But even that kid, fine, I'm not good enough to play for you, but I'm good enough to play at a school slightly smaller, and I'll get some money there, and I'll turn out to be a stud.
And then I'll transfer and get paid the big bag.
Right. But at Purdue, he gets a chance, and I think it's a pretty good job. He gets a chance to practice against those two guys and get better and better, and knows that he's going to get the big money next year. But he's got to be getting big money not to play, or he wouldn't agree to do it. That's my theory.
100%.
Judge Frank, you think I'm close? I have to be somewhat close.
Yeah, no, you got to be close, yeah.
Because you wouldn't want a kid that stupid. Do it.
Well, no, right, yeah.
I don't want you on my team if you'd play for nothing, not play for nothing, when you could make this amount of money. I mean, I think this with the transfer portal, before it starts, everybody's already talked to all these schools, and they know what the money is. And if the school they're at doesn't match the best offer, then they enter the portal. If they do, they say, I'm coming back. I don't think they're supposed to negotiate, but isn't that what anybody would do?
Yes, that's definitely what happens.
Well, yeah, when there's no rules. Yeah.
Yes. And there is no salary cap. Oh, baby, what a country.
That's the crazy part.
So, all right, Judge, thanks for the help.
Well, we'll see.
You ready? Yes, we are. We'll see. Third quarter with Brian Bulaga. Can't wait for some comments on the Masters. Oh, man, if he'd have made that putt on 17. Oh, baby, would 18 have been even more amazing, and there may have been a playoff. But I don't know that Brian Bulaga sees it that way. Next. The Discount Liquor Twitter poll question. Pebble, what do you got up there?
At the Homer Hour on Twitter, you can go take the poll right now. Should Homer wear his hairpiece on the show for the foreseeable future? Yes or no? Go take the poll right now at the Homer Hour on Twitter/X. Right now it's 100% voting says yes.
I vote no because I don't want to have to deal with it. But Brian Bulaga, how are you voting on this?
Yes.
Yes. I thought so. Tune into the new season of Behind the Bucks podcast on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Bucks versus the World, narrated by comedian Charlie Behrens. Untold story of the 1987 McDonald's Open. The Bucks, first NBA team to take on the best national team in the world. And if you're young, you wouldn't know this, but the Soviet was very good. Find Behind the Bucks on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, the new ESPN Wisconsin app, and wherever you get your podcast, Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher. And now, if you don't know this, Brian Bulaga is a very... interested golfer, you like golf. What's the best way to describe your interest in golf? That's kind of your sport now, I would say. Correct?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm competitive in anything, it's golf. That's what I like. I mean, I enjoy playing golf. Very interested in golf. So, yeah.
So,
I like
how
golf.
Much did you watch of the Masters and your analysis? Take it away.
I watched a little bit of day one, most of day two, all of day three, and all of day four. So I watched quite a bit of it. And, yeah, I wish Scotty made that putt on 17.
I don't know how it didn't go in.
I don't know either. It looked good the entire time. It looked good because the one thing I always like about Augusta, and we've seen it the last few years, or the Masters tournament in general, is there's been a playoff. There's been a playoff. You get extra golf. And that's I was really hoping that would be the case.
That would have been a hell of a playoff.
That would have been a great playoff. Scotty versus Rory in the playoff. And I guess you don't even know either if Scotty posted that number and Rory blasts his tee shot in the trees, does he swing as freely as he did at that? What? Does he swing as freely? Probably not. Probably a little more calculated.
I am amazed how often they hit in the trees and they have a decent shot. Like, I think the, what's the stuff on the ground?
The pine straw.
I guarantee you they limit how high that is. There are too many shots out of that stuff that you should have a terrible lie out of that sometime. I think they cut it, or not cut it, but they do something to make sure that it's not very high. Because those guys, I know why they hit in the trees, because they feel like they can, in many cases, have a shot out.
Yeah, Justin Rose hit one out of the trees that went to
unbelievable.
2 feet. Oh. That went to like 2 feet.
Right, shouldn't it be right behind a tree sometime?
You would think, but like you always, the minute they blast it in the trees, then they show the view behind them, there's a huge gap, and you're how do they find those gaps? And I never find that gap.
And I would say the trees are further apart than you think. Like the famous shot on 11 when Bubba Watson hit years ago, there's, you know, like if the trees are thick, you can't hit it through trees. And no. I think those trees are really tall. I don't know if they cut the lower branches off or whatever. But
how many balls sprayed out into the trees ricocheted back into the fairway?
Yes. I agree.
So many. Might never do that. They never do that.
By the way, you're not old enough to know this, but years ago in the Masters, you didn't get it until like the last nine holes. That was it. I would say, I don't know, it started at what time, but it wasn't on that long. And then I would also say the worst telecast ever in the history of the Masters was the 18th hole and Rory's second shot. No one knew where the ball went. How many cameras do they have? And then they kind of showed it to us in the trap. No one knew where it went. And they didn't even say, where did it go? Did anybody? Go ahead.
And wasn't Dottie Pepper walking with them?
Yes.
How does she have no idea where the ball went?
Well, they were so far out of the norm. But
Dottie always has eyes on it.
Yes.
Dottie always has eyes on it.
Yeah,
I don't know how. No one had a clue.
No,
I'm thinking, is this thing in the crowd?
Yeah,
chunk it. Did it hit a tree? Where did it go?
They did. Like, go ahead.
In Cam Smith shot too. That
or
was
Cam,
another one.
Young.
Cam Young. Yeah.
Yes.
Cam Young.
Agreed. Yes. I didn't know where that went either.
No, both shots. No, yes. Both shots gone. Just gone.
And in all the time that you've watched, and I would say this, which is probably more times than I'm older. I've never seen that happen.
No.
If you didn't see it right away, they'd say where it went.
Yes.
And they I wish they'd have been honest enough to go, does anybody know where that ball went? Everybody would have loved that. Instead, I don't know how long it took. It felt like forever, but.
I wish they would have just had Dottie say,
idea where it went. Somewhere near the trap, just like when you're playing and you hit a ball out of there.
Correct.
I think I know where it is, but I'm not sure.
The spectators had to know, right? They had to know where it is.
But there was no sound making you think it was good or bad.
No, there was no ooing or ah.
Right. From where he was, I would have cheered.
Oh, yeah, you're fine. You're in the bunker.
Yeah.
You're fine. You're going to make a five.
All right. So it's weird when you win. You don't have the guy, the winner of last year, put your jacket on.
Yeah, okay, and maybe it's just me, or maybe you feel this way too. Is the butler cabin interview not the most awkward interview
yes.
ever?
Yes.
It is just, it's disgustingly awkward.
Yes.
It's like.
And there's no point to it. People don't know that unless you've been there or if you go to the Golf Channel. Like, that was invented for TV. Later on, you see this great people sitting in chairs, a lot of them in green coats, and they put it on, and you, when there's last year's winner, he says something, and then you have Rory. I mean, if you went to the Golf Channel, I only started doing it after I went. I didn't even know it existed like this, and you have so many people. It, as bad as that is, the event on the practice green, that area is so huge, is spectacular.
Yeah. I mean, I cringe at the Butler cabin interview. It's just like, because they're inside, nobody wants to say the wrong improper word.
Right.
Or, like, it's just very awkward.
When when Bubba Watson won and Charles Schwartzel or whatever won before, and he made some comment, they gave the mic to Bubba, and he goes, "How about them dogs?" And then he goes, "I'd like to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." And I thought, I bet Jesus thought he'd trump the dogs, but I don't have
it. But I guess not.
The energy and stuff is like that outside.
Yeah, I mean, guys are excited, and you put them in Butler cabin, and it's like they have to, like, shut up and just say, like, one-word answers.
Yes.
It's just so weird.
Agree, totally. And as I said, unless you, because that ends it for CBS, unless you've seen it on the Golf Channel or been there, you wouldn't even know that is just a made-up thing that they do for CBS, and I would say they should just get rid of it.
I agree. And another thing, too, and maybe I'm being nitpicky, but were there way more commercials this year than normal?
May have been. I can't say. I'll defer to you on that.
I felt like there were more commercials than normal. I just did. I thought they missed a bunch of shots. I don't know. I just felt like the coverage just wasn't what it normally is.
I was upset at the end because I wish Johnny Miller was doing. The shots that McIlroy had to hit were simple. He was very conservative. He chipped up and down on a couple. It was like he was going to make sure he didn't mess up, and he was confident he'd get up and down. And they would say, like, well, he's got a, like, he's got 110 yards. That's the easiest shot in the world for a pro.
That's a 60-degree wedge.
Right. He played very conservative. And like I said, I would say out of the last few holes, he didn't even hit the green. He had to chip. And he chipped really, really close. And then on the last hole, he had it. But I just thought he played very conservative and was that confident. And but they just acted like there was way more pressure.
Yes.
The way, like, he was playing, he set it up. All I got to do is par, and I can take a bogey on the last hole.
Yeah. They were acting as if every shot was the hardest shot. And it's like, that's, I mean, listen, I'm not saying I would execute it the way he did, but he's one of the best golfers in the world. I think he can hit a 110-yard wedge.
Right, and has been prone in the past to make mistakes, and it was just clear to me that he's just matured. And, you know, when he didn't hit it on the green in those two, I can't remember what it was, and 16 or whatever. And the other thing is that I want to get Andy North on because his shot on 12, I don't know that I've ever seen any other player hit that angle that he did and get it that close.
No.
It was usually when you do, so maybe it's because there wasn't a wind or whatever. But Homer here for Window Nation. Spring is a great time to open your windows, and that's assuming they open, because they can leak, they're cracked, they need repairing, and you haven't taken care of it. Take care of it now. During Window Nations, the more you buy, the more you save sale. You could save up to 50% off, plus you could get zero interest for 5 years. As a proud partner of the Milwaukee Brewers, ask how you could score a pair of Brewers tickets. I'll be telling you more about Window Nation. They might be new to you, but they're not new around the country. Family business, incredible, the standards they've set. You'll learn about it soon. And during uncertain times, best investment, of course, is to make it in your home. Make it better. And Window Nation, the more you buy, the more you save sale. WindowNation.com to book a consultation. And asking about the history, the family business, how many years they've been doing it well. Next. The Brian Bulaga Homer Hour, and the question which I ask on everything regarding the Packers is, I It's just Goody, and so when he does something, I think, well, that's just Goody. It's about whether you think he's doing a good job, or I think he'll be like he has been in the past. But I'm curious as how you look at it. Do you look at every situation, every acquisition differently, or you just say, he's pretty good at being a GM. Let's see what happens with the team he puts together. And do you notice anything different?
Yeah, no, I think I look at everything different, at every situation differently, and just say, hey, I think Goody's a good GM, and we got to see how it pans out and how it plays out, see if he's got a long game plan for something, or if something's coming down the pipe with it, right? Like, that's the way I look at it. And I look at it that way, especially with the wide receiver room, with the trade, with Wicks getting traded and everything like that. He knows he has to pay guys in that room here, right? Like, he knows he has to do it. You might as well get some compensation for it, right? And that's the way it goes. And it's a crowded room, right? Like, between Tucker Kraft, which you and I have already stated, that's Jordan Love's number one target.
Yep.
He's coming back. Going to get paid a lot of money. Christian Watson, about to get paid a lot more money, in my opinion.
Yes. Yeah.
Golden needs to get the ball, like coming into his second year, needs to get the ball. And then Reed, another guy, needs to get the ball. So that's a lot of players. And then you still have Savion Williams.
That's what I was going to say. He's got it. Well, I mean, he drafted him, so he believes in it. But Golden and Williams, he's got to believe in them to some degree,
yeah.
Which part of that is he wouldn't have drafted him, but that's what you do when you let other people go that are more and create a level of security.
Yes. Yes. I mean, and that's the thing. Like, we already know that room was awfully crowded, right? And all last year and even the year prior, we kept hearing there's no number one. We don't have a number one. Well, when that's the roles that is created for a room, every guy believes that he's the number one then. And then when they get slighted targets and things aren't going a certain way, there's going to be some disgruntlement of some sort.
Because I'm not getting a legitimate chance to make the kind of money I think I'm worth.
Yes, 100%. 100%. So, like, I'm not saying that was Wicks' issue. I have no idea if that was his issue or if there even was an issue. I don't know. But I know for a fact when you get told for 2 years straight that we don't have number one, all these guys are number one quality, and you only get so many targets and make so many plays, you're going to get a little frustrated.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you're not the guy.
So I think this year they are going to do a much better job of defining who is the number one guy and shrinking the room down so that there is more opportunity for these guys, so there's better cohesion in the room. That's just my opinion.
I want to ask you the same about the offensive lines, kind of. But I want to mention first about Milwaukee weight loss. Yes, I had my weigh-in today. I've gone from 229.5 down to 205. And MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com, 262-235-3980. Why? Because I eat less. And I'm happy eating less. That's the part that just is amazing. I won't say I had pizza every day, but pretty close to every day. I haven't had pizza but once in the last 3 months, and I'm fine. So if you eat less, any weight loss program will work, and I'm convinced. I look forward to telling you after a year, and I expect to be somewhere between 200 and 205. So how do they do it? Well, you just eat less. They have certain amounts of it. You may do it differently than I do. The difference for me has been the amount of salads that I eat when I never ate salad because I hated salad. Now I find the perfect salad dressing and everything's good. 262-235-3980. And for a limited time, get $200 off with the spring special. So I'll get another weigh in like a month or so. Down 24, eat less, and I'm okay with eating less. That's how it works. Get the specifics at MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com, 262-239-235-3980. We're out of time. Oh. Well, do you have any last words you would like to leave us? That you think enough of Wisconsin that you'd be willing to let your AD go from Iowa to Wisconsin?
No, she's good where she's at. She's great. She's good. She knows what she's doing.
No, you do believe in helping people. You recognize...
Not Wisconsin. Not Wisconsin.
All right. And, yes, the hairpiece came back. Got the approval of Brian Bulaga. I think you were a little surprised that it's better than you expected. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah. It's really good.
I'm sure if King Zed is still around. And in honor of Brian Bulaga, the greatest thing you can hear, ESPN National in progress. You do it right. Next.